Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today on Bagels and Blessings, you'll hear a pre-recorded interview with Stan Meyer. How did a nice Jewish boy find faith in Messiah Yeshua? Stay tuned for the rest of the story. Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai. That is the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel, and this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the office at 585-288-0670. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. And now here's a new song from Paul Wilbur, The Battle Is Yours.
From the struggle there will come triumph. You are strong in my weakness. Out of pain I see rejoicing. You rise out of brokenness. For you rise out of brokenness. I will dance in the midst of the fire. I will sing in the eye of a storm. I will shout. You are faithful forever.
Shalom, this is Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013 with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at uccroc.com. Next up, here's Lacuna Ranana from Makeda.
את ידיו יצרו לא היום והוא עשהו ויבש את ידיו יצרו לא היום והוא עשהו ויבש את ידיו יצרו לא היום והוא עשהו ויבש את ידיו יצרו לגמ הפנה בתודה הזמירות נריאלון כי הם גדול
Yeah.
I know you're just dying to find out what that song is all about. Well, I know it's all in Hebrew, so let me tell you what they're saying. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and shout to him with songs. For the Lord is a great God. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before him, our Maker, from Psalm 95, 1 to 6. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. And now here's a beautiful song from Corey Bell and Lev Shiloh. It's from their CD, Or HaOlam, and it's called HaTov Shimcha.
Master of the universe, I don't. Shalom. This is Corey Bell from the band Lev Shalom, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Hey, it's Marty Goetz with Hava Nagilah. Let us rejoice. You know you've heard this at a Jewish wedding several times. You know you have.
Nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ben ishaha. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ben ishaha. Hava, neranana, hava, neranana, hava, neranana, ben ishaha. Hava, neranana, hava, neranana, hava, neranana, ben ishaha. Urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim, urachim b'lev sameach.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ben ishaha. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ben ishaha.
Hava, neranana, hava, neranana. Havan ranana ben ishaha, Havan ranana, Havan ranana, Havan ranana ben ishaha. Uru, uru, achim, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, urachim, b'lev sameach.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
This might sound like an unusual prayer request, but I'm going to ask you to pray for a horse named Norman. You see, I live in the country. It's pretty rural out here, and there are horse crossing signs on my street. The other day I was coming outside to get some Amazon packages, and I heard a sound and looked up, and there was a horse running across my yard. And then I realized what had happened. There was a lady on the ground. The horse had a huge gash on its side, and a driver had hit the horse, knocking the rider off. Now, thank God the rider is going to be all right. She just had a fractured ankle, but no concussions, no other injuries. The horse, however, is in the hospital in Cornell, getting blood transfusions, bleeding internally. So I'm going to ask you to pray for Norman, pray for everyone involved, and thank you so much, because, you know, God created animals and humans, and we must keep these beautiful creatures in our prayers. Alrighty. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And now I'm going to play an oldie but goodie. This is from the group Israel's Hope. They were one of the first Messianic groups I heard, along with Lamb. This was a group that Paul Wilbur was in way back when, and I always loved their beautiful harmonies. So here is How I Praise You. Again, that was Israel's Hope. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I'm praying for Norman, the horse. And if you are moved as I have been about what happened, there is a GoFundMe. It's called Justice for Norman. So if you look up GoFundMe, Justice for Norman, if God is moving on your heart and you want to help, there you have it. Alrighty, well, thank you for listening to Bagels and Blessings. In a few moments, you're going to hear my interview with Stan Meyer, but I think we'll play one more song. Let me see what I can come up with. Perhaps something from Ted Pierce. Now, here's my interview with Stan Meyer. Dr. Stan Meyer, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thanks, Ethel. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I'm very excited. I can't wait to hear all about your life, so I'm going to just dive right in. Were you raised in a typical Jewish home?
I was. I was raised in San Antonio, Texas. My mother, the daughter of immigrant parents from Eastern Europe, her father from Russia, Ukraine, her mother from Poland. My dad, Southern German Jew, raised in the South, but his grandparents from Germany, 1800s. So we grew up Reform. We were very active at our synagogue, Temple Bethel in San Antonio. And my mother was really searching for truth. She grew up in a very traditional home in San Antonio. Her parents, conservative Orthodox, and then when she married my father, started going to a very large Reform synagogue in San Antonio because he was Reform. But she just wasn't finding spirituality. She was looking for a relationship with God, looking to understand just basic answers that she wasn't getting in the synagogue. And it was the 70s, and she started getting interested in the occult. So she started experimenting with channeling and contacting spirits.
Oy vey.
Yeah, she didn't really know. I mean, her mother's family, being very religious, Orthodox in Eastern Europe, had been involved a little bit in Kabbalistic stuff, so, and had superstition. So she just followed through with that, and she really got into spiritual oppression. She ended up feeling oppressed by spirits and really didn't know who to turn to. I mean, growing up Jewish, never really taught anything about deliverance or prayer or anything except the prayers you recite in synagogue. My dad certainly had no idea what to do, and it got worse and worse. And she had this horrible nightmare that she was on the edge of a pit, and she heard the screams of people in that pit, and God was on the other side of the pit. And she wanted to reach out to God, but didn't know how. And that nightmare went on all night. And then the next morning, she remembered seeing a piece of paper at her neighbor's house. It just simply said deliverance and had a phone number. So she went over there and got the number and called it. And it was the phone number of Castle Hills First Baptist in San Antonio. And at the time, they had actually had a ministry of helping people out of the occult who were claiming to be oppressed spiritually. So she went over there, or they came over and brought her there and prayed over her. They actually prayed over her, and she felt this deliverance, like something horrible and evil and heavy was lifted from her. And then they explained the gospel to her, that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, and he had come to pay for our sins and give us this relationship with God. And she prayed with them to receive Jesus. She came home, and my dad just was incredible. He thought, she's a different person. She's so relieved. He went over there to thank the pastor who tried to witness to him, and he just got mad and stormed out. I was 9 at the time, and she started just explaining the gospel as best as she could to me. We, like most Jews, had not really read the Old Testament. Jewish people hear it read in the synagogue in the Torah reading, but it's all in Hebrew. Jews don't really have Bible studies in Sunday school where you have some kind of expositional learning about it, so none of us really knew the Bible, but she showed me. We had a Bible in the house, and it was just the Old Testament, and she showed me places that talked about the Messiah and showed me that this was Jesus. It was at 9 years old, I prayed with my mother to receive Yeshua as my Messiah and Savior. Well, you can imagine, our family was really mad. I mean, my dad was mad that she was starting to evangelize the family. My grandfather, who wasn't really that much religious anymore, just kind of poo-pooed it. And I decided I wasn't going to tell anybody. I didn't want to put up with all of this rejection and and trouble. So I just kept it a secret. I went on to synagogue. We were still involved in Temple Bethel. We didn't know other Jewish believers in Jesus, and really the Messianic movement like we know today hadn't really gotten started. I didn't know anything about, heard about Messianic congregations. So I just went to synagogue and continued. I was bar mitzvahed, and then later in Reformed Judaism, what's really bigger than bar mitzvah is confirmation. Huge thing.
Yep.
I mean, the whole class is there wearing white robes, and we led the service, and the synagogue was packed out. Nobody knew I was a secret believer in Jesus. I had become like kind of a, 007 believer, secret agent believer. And I kept it a secret. Although my mom still prayed with us and still read us the Bible. It was in college that I went on my own spiritual search. Growing up Reform, I didn't really know a lot of the very traditional traditions or Judaism. So I got involved with Chabad, a very ultra-Orthodox organization that does campus outreach. It still does a lot of campus outreach to bring wayward Jews back into Orthodoxy. So they were very accepting, and I didn't tell them what I believed, and I got involved. I learned a lot about my Jewish heritage. I was there in their Shabbat service every week. I made friends, but didn't tell them. But, you know, as I looked, the stuff, their hopes for the Messiah, the things I learned just kept pointing me back toward Yeshua, towards Jesus, toward the things that I had believed. It just, I kept coming back to the circle saying, these things seem to affirm Jesus being the Messiah, and these traditions I don't see as really biblical, so I don't think I can say that it really is not everything I can follow, and I kept pointing me back. Eventually, in college, people found out. I mean, people just found out. I had Christian friends who outed me. I say in college I came out of the closet. With Yeshua, that is. I mean, him, I came out of the closet.
Yeah.
So I came out of the closet too, but that was with Jesus. And people found out. Oh, they kicked me out of Chabad and said you were a secret spy and for the Christians and turned me away. And I was really embraced. I remember the love and acceptance I had from my Christian friends who said, just even if I didn't believe in Jesus, they still were willing to accept me and embrace me. But I did, and they taught me that being Jewish and believing in Jesus was not mutually exclusive, that I was a completed Jew, a Jew who had found my Messiah. Never really put that together. I just kind of always held him at tension throughout my life. And I started meeting other Jewish believers in Jesus. And they eventually connected me with an organization called Jews for Jesus, a whole organization dedicated towards bringing the message of Jesus to Jewish people. So I ended up coming on staff with Jews for Jesus. I served with them for about 35 years. I left a year and a half ago when I finished my PhD, and am now the congregational leader of Tree of Life Messianic Congregation here in Phoenix, and I'm teaching at Messianic Jewish Theological Institute online, which trains other Messianic Jews and leaders to serve. So there's my story.
Oh my gosh, that is a fantastic story. And it must have been, it must have been so hard to keep it a secret and not be able to share the hope and the joy of the Lord. So you must have been so relieved when they outed you.
Oh, it was mixed feelings. You know, I always thought about that verse that said, he who denies me, I will deny. So I had this kind of idea that if I accidentally slipped and told people I didn't believe in Jesus, I'd like lose my salvation. So I was really afraid. So I would avert the conversation because I didn't want to ask anyone to ask me directly. But it came about living in the Bible Belt, Texas. There's a lot of Christians. They'd find out I'm Jewish. They felt like winning a Jewish person to Jesus is some kind of a notch on their belt, or like a special. They felt like it was a prize to win. So they try to witness to me, and I'd say, I'm already a believer in Jesus. And either they'd want to tell everybody, and I'd say, please don't, or they wouldn't believe me. So it was always turbulent throughout that whole time, keeping it a secret. And throughout that, then in Chabad, I would ask questions, but they would hear the questions. They say, that's a strange question, Stan. Only Christians ask that kind of a question. And so it was always this tense time. So there was relief and sorrow, because at the time that when I, in college in the 80s, when I became public, the Jewish community at that time was still pretty intolerant of Jews who believe. Things have changed. The Jewish community today has become a lot more inclusive, a lot more tolerant and accepting. Not that the Jewish community is that much more open, but back then, when you are found out to be a believer in Jesus, back in the 80s, and before, they really did practice excommunication. They kicked you out. People saw you as a traitor, didn't want to talk to you.
Oh yeah. How about your extended family? Do they understand, or are they against what you believe?
Things have really changed. My dad just came to finally accept this is what I do. Over the years, like many Jewish family, if you just keep loving them and being a family member, they most eventually just say, oh, well, this is what it is. We had a Messianic Jewish wedding, me and my wife, and he came to that, and he heard me speak in churches, and just finally said, I'm proud that my son's done something with his life and is still keeping his Jewish heritage. My mom is still a very strong believer, and I just saw her just a few days ago when I flew to San Antonio, and she's still very strong in her faith. And my sister's not a believer, but she's very tolerant. She lives in San Francisco, quite very politically liberal, very open-minded, and so I can talk about the stuff I do. My younger sister is a believer. My wife Jackie was also raised in a Reform Jewish home in Los Angeles, and when she became a believer in high school, her mother didn't want to talk to her. Her mother, for a year, almost a year, just wouldn't talk to her in the home, and she faced a lot of rejection. But over the years to come, she just kept behaving like a daughter and loving them and just putting it aside, didn't try to push it on them, and she's been very embraced by her family. None of them are believers.
Yet.
Her brother, not yet. Her brother is involved in the conservative synagogue, but he came to and participated. He came to our wedding. He participated in my daughter's bat mitzvah. I did a Messianic bat mitzvah for her, and he actually was one of the Torah readers. The whole family, her side, did the blessings before the reading called the Aliyah. And so they... So a lot of things have changed in general in the Jewish community since the 70s and 80s. The Jewish community has a new generation that wants to see itself as inclusive as opposed to tribalistic. And I've really seen that in terms of the changes in attitudes. I think Pew Research in 2013 asked a question of American Jews. Some 5,000 were surveyed. Do you think a person can believe in Jesus and still be Jewish? And 34%, which is may seem small, but it's not. It's almost one-third of the entire American Jewish community. 34% said, yes, a person can be Jewish and believe in Jesus. So we've seen a much bigger tolerance, which is good, in that more Jewish people and younger generation are willing to at least have conversations about it and not feel threatened like Jews who believe in Jesus or in some way Nazis trying to steal the souls of our people. They're actually willing to be more open, and that openness has made a big difference.
Oh, yeah. I think part of the problem, too, is that our fellow Jewish brothers and sisters who don't yet know Jesus as their Messiah confuse the word Christian with the word Gentile, for one, and also they still think that if you believe in Jesus or Yeshua, that you are now converting to another religion, and that's just an ongoing problem I see.
Right. Yeah, I encourage believers who are looking to speak and share with their Jewish people not to use terms like, will you become a Christian? Because for a Jewish person, being a Christian to them doesn't mean making a decision of faith. A person is born Jewish. It's an ethnic identity. If they become a believer in Jesus, they do perceive that they're changing their ethnic identification. They're becoming a Gentile Christian. So I say, use words like, you know, would you ever consider believing Yeshua is the Messiah? And they say, do you mean you want me to become a Christian? I said, well, I want you to believe that he is the Messiah. If you want to use the word Messianic Jew, you never stop being Jewish. And so that's encourage them to explain it. Because, yeah, the for a Jewish person, they don't understand the language, the same words, the same as most Christians do.
And then there's the problem where they think that we believe in three gods.
Right. It's very, one of the objections, especially a religious Jew will have, is if I believe in Jesus, I feel like I'm breaking the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you say, well, no, we believe that God came to earth. He said, well, that's the same thing as building an idol. That's idolatry. I can't. And I have a Jewish person I meet with right now, a couple, and the man, Adam, he actually says that's the one thing he really struggles with. I can't pray to a man. Explain as I may, we're not saying he's a different God. It's that the concept still that God would become a man, that this is the same one, just makes them feel like they're idolatry, committing idolatry. They're eating pork meat or something like that, so to speak. It feels unclean, and so it is a big hurdle to get over as you're sharing them. It can be done. It just takes explanation.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, this program is live streamed. People hear it from all over. So why don't you tell people about your congregation, where you meet, what time, what day, because you never know, somebody might be listening and they want to come and visit.
Sure. It'd be great if you live in the Phoenix-Scottsdale area or even anywhere near the metro Phoenix area. We're congregational. We're Congregation Tree of Life, Messianic Congregation. We are Jews and non-Jews who celebrate Yeshua the Messiah. We have a Shabbat service on Saturdays at 10:30 a.m. Right now, we're meeting at 5334 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale near 54th and 53rd and Thunderbird. But let me get the, hold on, the new, we're moving on July 1st. And our new location is...
That's exciting.
We're moving on July 1st and we will be meeting at 6508 East Cactus Road, Scottsdale, and that's the corner of 65th and Cactus on the north side. We will be meeting at 10:30 a.m. And if you're in the area July 3rd, Saturday, July 3rd, we're having a big dedication celebration. We're going to have a big 4th or 3rd of July picnic after our service, Saturday, July 3rd. So come at 10 a.m. and celebrate with us. It'd be exciting. Look for me, Stan. I'll be there. I'm going to be teaching that day.
Wonderful. So listen, before we conclude our time together, I was wondering, how would you like us to be praying for you or your family, your ministry, anything?
Thanks. Well, first, of course, pray for our family who doesn't yet know Yeshua. Pray for Jackie's family, all of whom are not yet believers. Some of them are very open, love talking about spiritual things, but just are not really ready to say, I want to believe in Yeshua. You pray for our move. Anytime a congregation moves, you maybe lose people. Hopefully, we'll gain new people. We're going to be located right in the center of the Scottsdale Jewish community. We're just right in the geographic center of where the heart of where most of the Jewish people live, and we want to be a light. We want to be a banner to attract curious seekers. And third, there's a few seekers I'm meeting with. There's one couple, and I'll just say this particular couple without using their names if it gets out. This couple is really open. One of them prayed with me last week to receive Yeshua. The other one, he is still hesitant because of the idea of believing that Jesus is God. They're really open. So pray for them and some of the others that I'm actually in touch with and meeting with who are not yet believers but are willing to talk to me one-on-one, and that they might come out and that they might give their hearts to Yeshua. That's how you can pray for us.
Absolutely. I have to tell you an interesting, wonderful coincidence. I'm part of Congregation Shema Yisrael in Rochester, New York, and we just completed a move in the end of November, and we also moved into the heart of the Jewish community. We are literally down the road from the Jewish Community Center, and so I definitely will be praying for you because it's still very new for us, and we're really excited because we're like right there. This is the first time we've been in the heart of the Jewish community, so I'm really excited for you guys, and I pray that that goes well and that the Lord will increase your visitors. People will drive by. They'll be curious, and who knows what can happen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks. You know, if I can say one thing to our listeners, since you bring that up, if you are a part of a Messianic congregation or a Jewish ministry, and you have not yet really sunk your roots down, I want to encourage you as a listener to pray really hard about locating yourself within the Jewish community. It saddens me across the country as I see so many Messianic congregations and Jewish Messianic ministries that are located in affluent Christian, middle American Protestant areas, perhaps because that's where they get their financial support. That's where they get all of their Christian, curious visitors. But if you're in Jewish ministry, God's not called you to go where the money is and to go where you can find the most Christians who will all come out and enjoy some exotic Jewish service. God's called you to reach Jewish people. And I want you to pray really carefully about locating your ministry where the Jewish people are, because that's something that I think our Jewish ministries and Messianic congregations many times fail to do.
Very good point. Thank you so much. Well, I want to thank you for being my guest today, Dr. Stan, and I pray the Lord's blessings on you. I hope that we can have another conversation in a few months, and you can give me an update on the move and what's been happening out there. But in the meantime, I pray many blessings over you every day, and it's been a joy to hear your story. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Stan Meyer. And next, here's King of Glory from Heart Cry of David.
Open up, you ancient doors, fling wide you gates, and let the King of Glory endures, fling wide your gates.
Melech Adonai, Vayishmarecha. Yair Adonai panav alecha, vikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha, v'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.